In the name of one triune God, amen. Please be seated. Here's one of the things I love about being a Christian. We get to celebrate Christmas for 12 days, and for 11 of those 12 days, there are very few expectations and very little pressure. So, Merry Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birthday, and the centerpiece of the celebration is a story from Luke about a miraculous birth in a barn, because there was no room at the inn, not even for a woman in labor. In that account, we hear about shepherds, angels, the heavenly host, a star, peace on earth. It's a story that speaks directly to the humanity of Jesus, and I think it speaks in ways that our human embodied hearts can hear it. When you heard the story on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, didn't you just want to hold that baby and feel its warmth? And as we lit candles and sang Silent Night, couldn't you smell the barn in all of its pungent barnness? Didn't the star shine in your mind's eye that night or that morning? And today, on the Sunday following Christmas, we get to hear this wordy, cerebral prologue to John's Gospel. What is this, anyway? Is it a piece of theology? Is it a poem? A philosophical argument? Does it even make any sense? Have we heard it so many times that any sense it might convey gets lost in its familiarity? So these are the two sides of being a Christian that I love, the two sides of Christmas that speak to me, the same person, because I take it all very personally. Part of me is down here in the barn that is the earth, an animal among all the other animals of creation, in a body that I've been given through no merit or choice of my own, this body, in this world, in all of its complexity and mystery, this sensual, physical world so well described by Luke. And part of me lives in the equally human world of words, ideas, arguments, music, poetry, conversation, and faith. That is the world of the first verses of the book of John. And I think it's so wonderful that we're all here together on this Sunday, the first Sunday of Christmas, the Sunday in between Christmas and Epiphany. We're balanced on the cusp of a new year, in that place where we often find ourselves, that place of almost, but not quite. I think that's a big part of the Christmas message, that we are humans and that we're complicated beings, that we have both feet in the barn and our heads in the clouds, and that we are animals that love and laugh and weep, human animals in search of meaning and, yes, in search of redemption, and that God, our Creator, is also the answer to our human predicament. The Word, and specifically the Word made flesh, born in a barn, Jesus the Christ, he offers no simple solution, but he does offer an answer to our search for meaning. A simple solution might be, well, too simple. So on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we hear the story of the birth of Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One, destined to lead Israel out of the darkness and into the light of freedom, born human, destined as we are to walk this earth, to eat and sleep and laugh and weep and die a human death. And even though he disappointed all the expectation that the Jews had for their Anointed One, he brought those who could see and hear something far better. That is, he brought grace, another word for the love of God. And on this eighth day of the Christmas season, this in-between day, we hear the story that starts not with the birth of a baby, but with the beginning. I mean the very beginning, like the beginning of time. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Do you hear an echo here? An echo of the creation story in Genesis that goes, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and the darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." In the Genesis story, in the beginning, God spoke light into being. God then went on to speak all of creation into being. I have no problem with this account of creation, because I'm sure that the authors of Genesis weren't offering us a scientific explanation of how the universe came into being, but rather a much subtler and more important explanation of why the universe we find ourselves in came into being. Big Bang, evolution, natural selection, none of these or any other scientific theories are either proven nor disproven by Scripture or by faith. Faith addresses our yearning for meaning. Faith listens for the Word. John heard the Word, repeated in Jesus. He heard the Word echoing down through all the centuries that his people had worshiped God and tried to live in harmony with their God and with each other. He didn't try to sugarcoat the difficulties either of the relationship that his people had with God. In fact, he points out that God's light shining in the world can either be seen or it can just as easily be ignored. God's love, the Word, can either be heard or ignored. He was in the world, John tells us, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. No judgment here, just a statement of fact. That God chose to imbue this crazy universe that science so skillfully describes with life at all is remarkable. Even more unlikely, God chose to imbue with breath and intelligence the lives that human beings live here in the barn on earth. Even more remarkably, God imbued each one of us who woke up this morning in Jackson, Wyoming, on this day in between, this day between yesterday and tomorrow, he imbued us with breath and life. That's just how blessed we are. Here's the message that Jesus brought. Have faith that God gave us life as nothing more and nothing less than a gift of love, and then act accordingly. Here's the thing about this wordy, cerebral message at the beginning of John. Jesus brought the message, and Jesus, alive and loving and active in our lives, is the message. The message isn't just words, something that we hear, although it may start with hearing. The message is something that we, like Jesus, must embody, that is, live out in our lives, through our lives, together. Sandra M. Schneiders wrote an essay called "The Gospels and the Reader" that got me thinking about the Word and the message and about how this somewhat abstract piece of John, beautiful as it is, might become more real. And for me, that means more embodied. What if the Word is like a musical score? You've got one in front of you there, and if you happen to be reading through your bulletin right now, and I don't blame you if you are, direct your attention to the score of Joy to the World. Do you find that beautiful or moving? Well, probably not, as it is, after all, just marks on paper. Until, that is, when Pam hits it on the organ. that is until Pam hits it on the organ, and then we all raise our voices to the air and make a beautiful noise. Then the music encoded on the page becomes real, and it becomes beautiful, and it becomes moving, and it actually means something because we can actually feel it. Now, what if the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, becomes real in us and through us? What if the love of God that we read about and hear about and talk about becomes sung out by us in our lives together? What if we were put here in these bodies at this time in between for any other reason than to make God's mysterious love of us real for each other, real for ourselves, and real for the world? Well, if we weren't put here for exactly that reason, then I don't know why we were put here. I have faith that we were put here to hear the word and then to respond and sing or dance or shout out the word with our bodies and our hearts and our minds. And then, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, we will find, as John promises, grace upon grace. Merry Christmas. Amen.